This is Weekly Dose of Wellness, brought to you by Memorial Care Health System. Here's Deborah Howell.
Hello and good day and welcome to the program. You're listening to the Weekly Dose of Wellness, brought to you by Memorial Healthcare System. I'm Deborah Howell, and today's guest is Dr. Leila Rasooli, a board-certified interventional cardiologist practicing at Saddleback Memorial Medical Center in Laguna Hills, California. Her mission is to provide dedicated, advanced cardiac care from the heart. Dr. Rasooli completed her cardiovascular and interventional fellowship at Harbor UCLA and leads a full-service cardiovascular practice in the Orange County area. Welcome, Dr. Rasooli.
Thank you, Deborah. Nice to be here.
I'm so glad we could get you for a few moments today. You know, women and men are quite different when it comes to heart disease, so let's get right into it. What are some of the general differences between women and men in the acute or hospital setting?
You're right, dear. Women and men are very different. In the global society aspect, we've had books and media compare us to different planets.
Wow.
However, in the cardiovascular arena, it's a more sobering milieu, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Women are their own universe. Women are more less likely to survive a heart attack if they have one compared to their male counterparts.
Mm-hmm.
Women have greater than 50% chance of dying during heart surgery. And typically, they are more likely to develop heart failure or a weakening of the heart muscle. So you can see that this is a more sombering effect that comes over women. It's
sure.
more, it's such that they are like an onion peel with different layers, different
mm-hmm.
nuances. And at the center of this is the hormone, the estrogen theory, I'm convinced.
Okay. Because otherwise, we simply don't know exactly why a woman would have a 50% chance of dying more so than her male counterpart during heart surgery.
We don't exactly know, but we have some thoughts of why this may occur. When women do have surgery, they're much older, so they have more comorbidities, such as diabetes and hypertension.
And this, of course, is on average.
On average, and it depends from site to site and the age of the woman, and it may not be as much with newer techniques. And certainly it's not to speak down against surgery, but because the woman's vessels are smaller and they have higher comorbidities when they are operated on, they are
mm-hmm.
sicker, so to speak.
I see.
It becomes harder to take care of them.
Tell our audience what comorbidity means.
Comorbidities are sicknesses that affect us. So diabetes puts you at a greater risk, puts you at a higher risk level than
mm-hmm.
someone without elevated blood sugars requiring insulin and medication.
Okay, so it's like more than one thing going on in your body.
More than one thing going on, exactly.
Okay. Now, women have different symptoms than men. Why don't we get into that a little bit?
Yes, and this is at the core of why we miss heart disease in women. Typically, the man comes in with an elephant sitting on his chest,
mm-hmm.
Gripping chest pressure, and he's sweating, and you know exactly what's going on. Well, for a woman, she may have had just generalized fatigue for about 2 months,
mm-hmm.
or generalized body pain for 2 months, neck pain, throat pain. And one of the most common ones is indigestion. You know, I've had a woman that she's actually thought that it was a burrito she had the night before.
Wow.
She came in, no one really thought it was a heart attack, and we ended up fixing two sites in her arteries, in her artery. So it is the great masquerader, so to speak, and
mm-hmm.
we have to be vigilant both as the medical side and the woman herself and her family.
It makes you want to send an email blast to every single woman you know with a video of these symptoms.
That's a very good point, Deborah. They already know. We have been on this for about 10 years trying to bring awareness to this issue. But the funny thing is the woman will be the first one to jump and take her child to the urgent care of her husband. But when she gets the symptom, let me see what happens.
Right. We're caretakers.
We're caretakers.
Except
yes.
for
I've
ourselves.
I've had a woman who actually, she's a nurse. She knew all these. She
mm-hmm.
had problems. She made dinner for her family, cleaned the dishes,
wow.
and then drove herself to the ER.
Yeah, that's a woman
for you. Exactly. So, yes, it is nice to blast it, but also we have to act on it.
Yeah, exactly. And this podcast would be a good way to at least start. And I do hope people listen and watch and learn. So let's learn some more. What theories have been offered on the differences in the disease process between men and women?
Well, certainly we're just scratching the surface, but we know that estrogen and hormonal changes have something to do with it. We know that low estrogen, which is the waning estrogen we have after menopause, mm-hmm. certainly affects the heart vessels. Estrogen is critical. Yes.
Let me stop you there. What about women who are taking hormones? Is this another incentive for women to take hormones?
No, it's actually the opposite. We used to push hormones on women thinking it was good for cardiac care, cardiac health, and that changed about 15 years ago when we found that they were actually not so doing well. Mm-hmm. However, that leaves us with a large population of women needing hormone therapy after menopause, or they'll go straight crazy. They are going through a very difficult time, a decade of different things going on, palpitations, hot flashes, and the only way we know how to treat it is with hormones, but it's the same thing that may be hurting their heart.
Oh,
so
wow.
That is a difficult population, and it's a population that's growing, my dear.
Is it something you should speak with to your doctor about maybe getting a lower dose of hormonal stimulation every month?
We don't have the literature yet. However, we're thinking compounded hormones, those that are specially made to fit your body hormone levels, may be the ticket. But, yes, absolutely speaking to your doctor and working together with a heart specialist,
mm-hmm.
We have to open people's minds that, yes, it's not necessarily very good for the heart. But as happened with my mother, she went to a doctor, an endocrine doctor, a hormone doctor, that said, I'm not going to prescribe anything. But she was going through a major change in her body that had her hospitalized.
Wow.
So you live in the gray zone. And you need a good gynecologist and you need a good cardiologist or internist to be working together with you.
And you need to go. You need to go every single year.
Yes. Not only that, but be in connection. Read. Read the internet. I tell people, I do want you to read. Bring your questions to us, and maybe we'll learn something. But normally, it'll be a discussion. And if that discussion never happens, it's always inside of you, nothing's going to change.
And part of that discussion should be to know your numbers.
Yes, and that's critical. Just like you know your size of your clothes, just like you know the size of your husband's shirt, knowing your numbers. Cholesterol. There's four main numbers to know, the good and the bad cholesterol. Find out what that means.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing where you need to be optimally, what your blood pressure needs to be, what your heart rate needs to be. You need to get out there and buy a blood pressure cuff and be aggressive in your own care. No one will care about you as much as you yourself. Your
Absolutely.
Sugar level.
Mm-hmm. BMI, and even your lipid profile. I mean, most people I know, I certainly don't know what my lipid profile is, but it would be really beneficial to know that. And why?
Well, we know that's one of the main ways that if it's elevated, we can change it with the arsenal we have, both with medication and with natural means, to optimize that whole panel. And if we optimize it, then we're trying to move against this battle that we're losing with heart disease.
Right.
If we can change your bad cholesterol and make your good cholesterol higher, then we are fighting some of the ways we know of making you healthier. 50% of the time, however, we don't know when you'll have a heart attack.
Right.
50% of the time we know. We know it's the cholesterol. We know it's the blood pressure. We know it's if you smoke or if it's a family history. And those we can make a difference with.
What about BMI? What are the parameters for BMI?
Yeah, BMI, I won't go into the equation, but it's a more robust term in looking at you and your weight. If you have a certain weight, But you're 6'2", you're going to be a different category than myself, who's 5'3". Mm-hmm. So BMI takes into effect both the height and the weight of a woman. And that is critical because we carry weight typically in the midsection.
Okay. You know, we could go on for hours and hours, but yes. Unfortunately our time has flown. We hope to have you back because there's so much more that we need to cover.
Thank you, my dear. Thank you
We've
for your time.
We've been speaking today with Dr. Leila Razzouli about the differences between women and men as it pertains to heart disease and how this awareness and knowledge will hopefully lead to prevention of heart disease in the future. We thank her so much for joining us today. I am Deborah Howell. We invite you to be with us again next time as we explore another weekly dose of wellness brought to you by Memorial Care Health System. Everybody get out there, know your numbers, and have a great day today.